Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is the Rutgers postgame breakdown, and unfortunately, breakdown is the only way to describe what happened today. I'm going to read you a list of points that this offense has scored game by game. Started off with 30, had 30 against UTSA, dipped down to 14, 17, 9. Popped up to 24, 0, 20 in 9 overtimes, and now 14. Folks, I'm not one to complain too much, but there has to be some sort of looking in the mirror from the highest levels of the football organization to decide what they are going to be on offense. I don't care if you have Wisconsin in its prime under Barry Alvarez. You cannot be as predictable as what this team has been. And it was just a very frustrating day. You're looking at quite a few games here that could have been won with just an additional score. And it's something that, you know, if you the guys who are the glass half full will say under Lovie Smith, we might have been blown out four or five times this year. And the guys who are the glass half empty would say that we could have had three or four victories and be bowl eligible at this point in time. It's very frustrating to see the defense hold teams to the point levels that they are. You know, to be honest, this defense has given up 24 points against Wisconsin, and you have to go all the way back to Virginia to go higher than that. That's quite, you should be able to win those games. So, we have to figure out, I guess, do we have the right guy pulling the trigger, at the, offensive coordinator position? We have to figure out what do we need to do to recruit differently or better to make sure you have the right players you need. And to be honest with you, I think they need to look at what they want to do on offense. Rutgers has a similar offense, but they use misdirection throughout the game and a lot of trickery to make the defense hold for a step or two. And Illinois kind of runs, well, right where they're going to run. And that does make it easier. And when you're struggling throwing the ball, they're not the hardest team in the world to defend, as we've seen. So, Cad, that's about as much of a rant as I'm going to go on. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, thanks for having me again, Mike. Glad to be a part of the Illini, guys. I guess I want the fans who are listening to this podcast to think about what you just read at the opening of this podcast, the point totals. Then you asked the question, who you looking in the mirror? Because people are, I don't want to use the word critical or criticizing. It's okay to give constructive criticism. That's a part of life. Constructive criticism people should want because it makes you better. What you just said is awful for Division I football. The criticism comes from the offensive coordinator. Illinois ran for 1 million yards last week against Penn State. So don't you think, and anybody will know, that the next opponent is not going to let you run the ball down their throat. They took that away from Illinois. They only rushed for 107 yards today. Clap your hands. Great. Brandon Peters threw for 190 yards, I believe. So throw for 290 or 300. Because every time you try to run the ball and you went three and out or four and out, you just wasted another opportunity to score. If they were throwing the ball and it was the tight ends were open in the middle of the field, sometimes the fans, if you watch it on TV, it's a lot different in person, especially in the press box. There were guys over in the middle of that field that they refused to throw the ball to. And I don't understand it. I mean, we've talked about this so many times, way too many times, and it's the same thing. I walked out of this stadium today, and I, for the first time in a long time, I felt bad for the fans. They were excited when I walked in because they knew they were going to win. They just came off a win at Penn State. And what did they do? Just like you said, Mike, very predictable, run the ball and hope that they can just outrun people. If that's going to be your staple, fine. But right now, a good coach to me, and we talk about self-air, you have to make adjustments. You don't have the players to do what you want to do right now. And you're losing games because of it. So why not adjust to that? Why not adjust? I know Isaiah Williams is never going to be a quarterback in Illinois anymore as long as this staff is there. I get it. But I would be damned if I'm going to sit and lose games when I have a guy who's a dual-threat quarterback who could probably get me a couple more first downs and keep the chains moving. But they refused to do it. And now they're losing and they're continuing to lose. That Northwestern game, I mean, I feel bad for the athletic department. People aren't going to be interested in coming to that game. I mean, now, it's for, you know what fans think? I heard one lady, you know, elderly lady, I'm ready for basketball. I'm not coming to the Northwestern game. That shouldn't happen, Mike. That's my rant.
Well, and I'll be honest with you. You know, we don't do too much talking about the business of sports. We'll do a little bit. But as you know, we all at the Illini guys, all of us have other jobs as well. And I'm looking at, you know, if I'm, you know, Josh Whitman, if I'm the athletic department as a group, you know, I've got to sell one more game, that Northwestern game, to try to maximize my tickets revenue that fuels the whole, you know, athletic department. And so my frustration at some of these slip ups, especially some of the self-induced ones, it's palatable. And then when you think about the potential revenue that you lose, you know, not going to a bowl, that is huge. And then the other part that people really don't think about, but if you want to compare Illinois to a school like Ohio State, you know, Ohio State gets an extra 4 or 5 weeks of practice every darn year, because they go to a bowl game every darn year. So by the time you're a senior, you may have had 16 extra weeks of practice. And I know Allen Iverson would say practice, you know, but the bottom line is to hone your skill sets, whether you want to play at the next level or you just want to win a bowl game. Or you just want to win next season, one more game than you did this season, those extra weeks add up. And when you look at a loss that, you know, to Maryland at 20-17, to Purdue at 13-9, this game at 20-14, you know, you turn those three games around, you're 6-3 right now. And yes, I know I'm being a little bit of a fan because I'm not saying that you could flip the Nebraska game or you could flip the Penn State game. I get it. But the bottom line is you win those games with just a little bit more offense, because it isn't the defense's fault, just a little bit more offense, and you're looking at 6-3, all of a sudden you're probably coming darn close to selling out the Northwestern game at the end of the year. You're looking at the revenue from a bowl game. Your fans are excited as heck, and they're going to travel. And all these young freshmen that are playing well, you know, all these young players, I should say, not just freshmen, you know, but Keith Randolph, Kirby Joseph, McCray. That's another subject, but you go down a list of these players, they get 3 to 4 weeks of practice that they wouldn't have gotten. And so when I asked, you know, the coaches, or I asked the staff to say, let's take a look at this. It is not that I have anything personal. I think Coach B will probably turn this program around. I'm not saying that, but how you do it, I have never understood, as a guy who coached basketball, I have never understood why you have to run a certain type of offense or defense. I've always been about what my team does best. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a background here, Ked. But, you know, a friend of mine down in Atlanta, Georgia, he invented this junk 1-3-1 defense. When I brought it up to Illinois and we played an AAU team with my oldest son, they played that defense fantastically. It kept us in games with teams that were in the top 10 in the country. It made us competitive. When my middle son played, you know, his AAU era, his team couldn't play that defense. So what I had to do was then decide how we are going to turn that thing off and make sure that we didn't get any type of we had to play something different because that defense wouldn't work. And I had to go to the drawing board, and I'll be honest with you. We played a totally different defense. We went to a 3-2 that I had never coached before, but I had to watch a dozen videos on it because that's what that team could do. And I've never understood why you put like my signature defense or offense over wins. And I don't know, help me, Ked, because, you know, when we played you guys had like 93 different offenses. No matter what defense I switched to, you guys had something for. Plus, you had a press we couldn't break. But my point is you played stuff that we couldn't beat as opposed to this is Kedrick's signature move.
Well, Mike, here's my philosophy as a coach. And whether people think I'm a good coach or not, I have coached high school, and I've coached kids that were all-state basketball players. So it's not like I'm saying that I'm great, but I can tell you this. Good coaches, to me, you adjust to your talent level and your team. This isn't the 70s and 80s. You cannot just use your staple and stick with it. It doesn't work anymore. It's too good. This is an Illinois fan. Let's use Brett Underwood. When he first got to that, he was up the line, taking away to basketball. But you know what was happening? They were committing dumb fouls, giving teams extra possessions, shooting free throws, and it was costing him games. So what did he do, Mike? He adjusted his defense and did something better to fit his team, his style of play in the Big Ten. And this is what we're saying. You can sit there and anybody can say, well, I'm old school. This is going to work. It's going to work. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way all the time. And it's not going to all the time because I know we're talking Rutgers. I was sitting at Press Row last night at the basketball game against Indiana, Pennsylvania, and their game plan was play behind Kofi, double down, and then let Coleman Hawkins and Jacob Grandison shoot the three. And you know what? It confused Andre Cabello. At halftime, Brad Underwood made adjustments. That is what you have to do. And nobody, I think personally, Brett Bielema is a good coach. The offensive coordinator, I'm not sold on because this defense is good enough to play a bowl game. Look at the accomplishments. They gave up 20 points today, and you can't score 24 points in a college football game, 30 points in a college football game. We can sit here and try to be nice and be politically correct. We know what the problem is. You do. And you can say, yes, there's no quarterback. You know, they don't do this. I get it. But if it was Kedrick sitting on the sideline, I would play Isaiah Williams and give him a chance to lose games. Because the backup quarterback right now, no disrespect to this kid, Rogers, who's a Division II quarterback. My daughter played Division II basketball. But you have a guy that's played quarterback before, and you refuse to play him because of a system. That's what the problem is. And I'm telling you, it's not a good look. And if they win games, I'll support them. I like covering games, you know, when they win. But this right here and this demeanor is not conducive to the fans. And I'm telling you, I want to see them succeed. It's a lot easier and it's fun to cover teams when they're winning. Today was a disgrace, and I'm sorry. I feel bad for the players. I feel bad for the coaches. They can look in the mirror and say they're going to, but at the end of the day, what are they doing differently? Because I knew when they got the ball on the yard line, we knew they were going to run it. You know, Lauren Tate was in the press box and he was frustrated. His comment was, it's a waste of down. Try to get out.
Yeah, it It definitely is a challenge, you know, when you're a one trick pony. And I know they've had problems, you know, passing the ball, but you know, that we had one quarter there, a couple drives where the play action and the passing seemed to work. If you were going to ask me my analysis of the game, it really kind of seemed to me that the first half, the momentum that Rutgers had was broken when Noah Vedral went out with the semi-concussion or the head injury, however you want to term that. And then in the second half, when they reestablished that momentum, he didn't get knocked out of the game by our defense, and there wasn't the interruption in the pace and the flow of the game that Illinois took advantage of in the first half. So I'm not certain if, you know, that obviously that's a, I don't like oversimplifying things, but it seemed to me that Rutgers was able to be slightly more than one dimensional, but they did that better, a little bit better than we did today. And I also thought that while they like to run the ball heavy, there was just enough confusion as to where the ball was on the field that it became hard for folks to know exactly where the ball was. And that meant that occasionally the Illinois defense had to play back on their heels a bit. And, you know, in a game that was that close, the ability of Rutgers offense to force that onto the Illini defense was that 6-point edge that they needed for victory.
You know, I agree with you. Let me ask you this. You know, Brandon Peters throws a 52-yard touchdown pass to Isaiah Williams. Did you see that for the rest of the game, Mike?
Yeah, I know. I'm with you.
I did. It worked. Even if it's a 30-yard pass, give your team a chance to win. But they do it one time, and they think, oh, it's going to open the offense up, you know, and it never did. That's what's hard to stomach. I don't know where they're going to go from here. I really don't, because if you think about it, they had a chance to be, what, three wins in the conference? I believe, yes, three wins in the conference on a year where this is supposed to be a down year and a quote-unquote down year. I will give Coach B credit. He's positive. But I really wish he wasn't one of those guys to just say, hey, we got, you know, this is what we're doing. Because he basically said it, you know, a couple weeks ago in his press conference. We're moving past Isaiah. This is not what we want. And I get it. I've said this before on podcasts. I like because I've heard a lot of defensive coordinators in the Big Ten say they hate it because it puts so much pressure on the defense. Because if you have a quarterback that can run and throw, you don't know what's coming. But for Illinois, I guess it's just not an option. And, you know, it's hopefully that they can figure out they can get enough kids in the transfer portal to run what they want to run and to have some imagination on offense. Because what this is doing right now is putting people to sleep and people are not happy with it.
Yeah, and I, again, I look at it as, and to me, Mike Leach used to talk about this on his radio show, that whether it's his offense, you know, which uses passing to do it, or maybe Paul Johnson, you know, from his days at Georgia Tech with his option, he talks about, you know, either way, you're trying to get the ball out to guys in space, whether you use running formations to do that, or whether you use the pass to get it out there, get guys in space, force the defense to cover the whole field, and then utilize the ability of your players to break tackles and use that space to their advantage. And I don't see why you can't put that into a little bit of that into a power offense. It takes a little bit of, it takes a little bit of creativity. But there's plenty of players out there that would love to try to innovate and see what they could do with a big offensive line like Bielema likes to recruit and see what they could do with the ability to run the ball up the middle coupled with, you know, what can we do to get the ball outside quickly on a play. And then all of a sudden that defense that doesn't, you know, that has to figure out how you're going to, you know, stop all the hosses from running you over, Well, if you're also getting the ball outside, that's just more that they have to defend. And so I just don't understand this mentality that, you know, if like there's a holy grail to run it up the middle and we have to be in the I formation. But, you know, maybe something different will happen. But I do think that, you know, no matter what walk of life we are, when you walk away from a situation, you know, you have to think, what could I have said or what could I have done to get a better outcome? And right now, when I look at some of the play calls and some of the personnel on the field, I think there's a list of what somebody could have done or said differently to get a better result. And I think that list could be pretty long.
Yes, and one of the things that I really caught what you said that caught my attention was, you know, just the predictability. You know what's coming, just run up the middle. I saw in the first quarter today that wasn't going to be happening today. You know, so that's when I thought, okay, they'll pass the game or they get, you know, the speed on the corners. You know, every week we hear about how you can utilize Isaiah Williams. The reverse is not utilizing Isaiah Williams all the time. They put him in at quarterback today. Everybody in the country, even a blind man, knew that he was going to be running the football.
Yeah.
Everybody knew that.
Yep.
You know, and that's predictable to me. It is. So I don't know what their thought process is moving forward. Right now, you have to continue the season. You want to, you know, give these seniors, you know, a last hurrah. I thank them for coming back. But it's time now to maybe say, hey, play some of these young kids, because I know at the end of the year, they're probably going to lose a lot of kids too. I know they're looking to get some in the transfer portal, but they're probably going to lose a lot of kids now, because I know a lot of people are unhappy with all the losses and they're losing it and their kids aren't playing. So they're thinking, what is the point of sticking around here if I can go win and go somewhere else and play?
Yeah, and well, you know, that we'll have to see how that plays out. But I do agree that, you know, you probably have to start figuring out what you've got. And to Coach B's credit, some of the kids that he's chose to play have made a difference. What happened to Josh McCray today, I would love to know, because he's way too much of a weapon to give the ball four or six times to. He's got to get the ball more often than that. But then again, we didn't have the ball that many plays. I mean, it took till darn near the end of the fourth quarter to get to 10 plays in the second half. I just felt, to be honest with you, Coach Schiano kind of had that grin on the sidelines. He had a confident smile. I really felt like, from even though it was a close victory, even though they could have lost this game very easily, I felt like he was confident that he knew what he needed to do to stop Illinois. And he felt like he could outscore Illinois. And he had that look of confidence from the opening kickoff on. And you know, again, other than that interim period of time where quarterback had his head, you know, had his bell rung, you know, they were in control of the game.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. Even the whole first half, I was going to tweet it out. I think at one point in the first half, Rutgers had time of possession was like 10 to 5, 4 minutes or something like that, I think. It wasn't even close. I mean, that whole first quarter, Rutgers owned the ball. And then also, we know that does for defense, puts a lot of pressure on them to have to get stops. But again, they gave up 20 points. And, you know, to me, if you talk, you know, we talked earlier, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but talk about adjustments. Look at what Walters did. He made adjustments. Now he gave his team a chance to win. I don't know why Coach B is not saying the same thing to Tony Peterson, because it's obviously not working. And one of these games, defense is going to break down, and because they can't score, they're going to get embarrassed. They just are. And I'm going to tell you, when they go to Minnesota and Iowa City, those are tough places to win, especially in Iowa City. If you can't throw the ball against Iowa and you don't take care of the ball, it's going to be ugly. And they have no problem putting up 50 points on Illinois, which we've seen before.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Well, we're gonna kind of wrap it up with Kedrick Prince, director of recruiting for Illini guys. Kedrick, any final thoughts as I'll be switching over to Matt Stevens, who was also at the game today?
Well, I guess my final thought is this. You know, I was coming into the game with my heart. I was expecting a win, but with my brain, I knew just it was typical Illinois fashion and what to expect, and my brain was right. Unfortunately, it's a loss no matter how you look at it. You know, hopefully they can get better, show some improvements, you know, next week. You know, I just, my key thing is give the kids a chance to win. That's it. I guess there's nothing else I can say, because right now what they're doing hasn't worked, you know, long term. A few wins here or there, but the long term it hasn't. So that's my take on it, my 2 cents.
Perfect. Well, Ked, I certainly appreciate you coming on. Safe travels. And we will talk to you in a few days. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So now we're going to switch directions here. Talk to Kedrick Prince, Director of Recruiting for Illini Guys. Now we're going to switch over to Matt Stevens, who is our staff writer and the beat reporter for the football team. Matt, was a challenging afternoon. What are we looking at from your perspective? What are your takeaways from this particular encounter for the Illini?
I think they got physically dominated up front, which is kind of surprising. But then again, not really, because I think that Shianu and Rob Smith kind of knew they were going to have to load the box and stop the run. And they have enough of a disciplined defense and disciplined personnel on defense to be able to do that. Positive is that there was a lot of improvement in the pass game today, and I thought you saw a lot of improvement with Brandon Peters today, and you saw a connection. I think he had in the first half, I think he had 9 completions to 7 different receivers. There was a balance on offense in the first half, and they just came out in the second half and were just flat. I mean, it was penalty here. Now it's 1st and 15. You know, you get the next drive, it's 1st and 25. And then you get the next drive and you're stuck on the one, you know. And so, you know, it just kind of snowballs and snowballs and snowballs. And you can never really build momentum. And it's kind of a short-term, long-term thing for Illinois. They had never been able to build momentum in the long-term in terms of wins and losses. And today in the second half, they were never really able to build any momentum in terms of yards and first downs in order to put some points on the board. So, frustrating day offensively because of just mistakes that were made early in drives that you thought Illinois had a chance to maybe, I don't want to say put the game away, but have a nice stranglehold on a game that when you have the ball coming out of the second half and they just couldn't do that.
Yeah. Now it seemed like we were stuck in neutral the whole second half. And it was frustrating because you know, like you said, there was, in a worst case scenario, you know, you want to come out and, you know, just take the ball in and get another touchdown up to start the third quarter. That didn't work out well. And, you know, it was sometime in the fourth quarter before we got the 10th play on offense. It was very hard to sit back and watch. And I know, you know, one of the things that we talked about with Ked was the sheer amount of, you know, just, you got to be able to do something with the football. And at some point, you know, the pass game was working and we never really kind of went back to it. You know, I mean, you know, at some point, you know, even the most uncreative coach will try to run the same play that worked earlier a second time just to see if it works a second time. And I'd have liked to have seen something, you know, another pattern deep to Isaiah. Would have liked to see, you know, Barker get another opportunity. Luke Ford had a nice, you know, along the sideline. Could we run the same play twice there? I don't know that that's asking too much.
Yeah, that's kind of you're talking essentially, I think, about the tempo. Like, hey, let's just run that. Like, it's the old Gus Malzahn offense. Hey,
yeah.
If I wind my hand, that means run the thing again.
Yes.
The same play that you just ran. Yeah. I also don't know how much that's repped with this team in terms of this is what our, you know, we got to practice and rep to our identity. And I don't know how much that's rep during the week. So, yes, the passing game was working. The bread and butter and the team, the thing that this thing is based off of is running the football. And
yep,
it was frustrating today because guys that had had, you know, a good bye week of practice and obviously a good bye week against Penn State, a good week against Penn State and the win. I'm talking about guys up front just didn't do their job. That's frustrating. It's not something that I don't think Brett Bielema can do much about. And it's not something that Tony Peterson can much, you know, scheme out of, you know, I mean, you can scheme away a bad offensive line, but you can't scheme it if your bread and butter is trying to physically dominate in the run game. And that's, you got to have it. And then you get pinned down on the one and yep. I mean, with a whip and a chair, I'll defend against our subscribers and our message board people to the death. I don't want Brandon dropping back 5 steps or 7 steps in the middle of the end zone and trying to do something there. Like that doesn't make any sense. And that's not putting your players in a position to succeed. And that's Rutgers playing the field position game to perfection, at which we thought Illinois could do and kind of does do on occasion with Blake Hayes. So you just saw Rutgers do today, and they haven't done it consistently in Big Ten play. Today, just be better at what Illinois is really good at. And by that, you get the result that you get on the field. But it's very frustrating to not be able to put 2 weeks together and 2 games together that you can hang your hat on right now if you're Brett Bielema. And I think that frustration was kind of expressed today in the press conference, that he's a little bit befuddled at why this keeps happening over and over again after things that go well. I mean, this is to a certain extent in a the air's out of the balloon now. This is UTSA after the Nebraska game. I mean, this is how this feels again. So I've now felt this. I think why this keeps happening.
Yeah, it sounds like you're in a wind tunnel there. So I do agree with you, and I think that's the frustration that the fans are having right now. You're looking at a team that, while the defense isn't perfect, nobody's claiming this is Georgia, you know, this year, or Alabama of a few years back. This defense has strung together an impressive set of games, and the offense consistently can't do anything. And at some point, you know, the fans are asking, like if you know X isn't going to work, try Y. And I know that it's not always realistic to do that. But, boy, just today it was like – I even go back to old-style football. I'm going to reference something for Illinois fans. But, you know, Mike White used to have a series of plays that he would run where Tony Eason, because he was relatively athletic, would roll the ball out. You know, he would roll out to his right. You know, you'd have a wide receiver going downfield. You'd have a tight end dragging in the flat, and Eason's running. He's got an opportunity to take the ball for 6 or 8 yards. He's got an opportunity, if the cornerback comes up on him, to drop it into the tight end. And if there's a screw up in coverage and the tight end gets covered and the cornerback comes up on Eason, you got the wide receiver deep. Brandon Peters has better set of wheels than Tony Eason ever imagined having. Could we just run a dang rollout pass and give Peters the opportunity to read one of three things, and put some pressure on the defense instead of the defense lining up to put 9 guys in a gap because that's where they think the ball is going to be run, and then it gets run right to that gap. And I felt Shiano was very confident on the sidelines the whole game. And I think had Vedral not got his bell rung, I'm not certain this game would have been nearly as close.
Yeah, Illinois had a lot of problems with the read option on defense and getting off the field on the read option on defense. So that's a concern for Ryan Walters' group. On offense, I don't know. I go back to Shiano's Monday press conference where he kind of said, unless there's a major shift, this is what they are, and they do it really, really well. And I think Brett Bielema knew that Greg Schiano was going to load the box. And I still think he said, well, we still have to be able to physically be able to run the football. And there were a lot of times I thought in the first half that Brandon counted the people in the box and then said, you know, okay, you know, we're going to throw this little check off to Casey Washington here. Like I think he was 9 of 12 in the first half.
Yeah.
And so the obvious question is that why don't you throw it more in the second half? Well,
exactly.
The reason you don't, yeah, I know. And it's a situation. I feel like, I think they got the ball first and second half and said, you know, we look at a first half where Rutgers has the ball 18, 19 minutes of the 30 minutes. So we've got to control some clock here and we've got to physically be able to regain some control over the line of scrimmage here. And we got to do it on this drive. I really think that they were trying to come out of halftime with a 6-minute drive.
Exactly.
That would have just basically, you know, ended any chance that Rutgers had of thinking they were going to come back and win this football game. When that didn't happen, the momentum completely shifted. But I don't think you can, if you're in the halftime locker room and you're Brett Bielema and you're Tony Peterson and you're all those offensive coaches, I don't think you can schedule out of fear and go, well, we're not running the football. Let's just abandon that. I go back to, what was it, 3 weeks ago against Wisconsin, where I didn't applaud that strategy when they did it, you know, and hey, we're not running the ball very well against Wisconsin, so we're just not going to do it. So, I mean, I feel like because this offense is so hamstrung in terms of what they can do athletically and what they can do from a talent standpoint, that, you know, you're going to have days where something's not going right and you've got to be able to have something you can hang your hat on. And today Illinois didn't have it, because I don't think there's anybody in the stadium that thought, well, let's just throw it all over the parking lot today, because Lord knows that's worked all year. I mean, I kind of sympathize with these offensive coaches sometimes, because I know what they want to establish from a long-term and a short-term identity standpoint. And I know what they wanted to establish in the beginning of that second half, and first and 15 and first and 25 on the first two drives just don't allow for that. And, right. And so that was your big problem. And I think Brett Bielema was more concerned about why that's happening with this football team than why can't we establish, you know, a passing game, or why can't we establish a run game. Today, it wasn't so much about putting the guys in a position to succeed. Today, it was about, once again, a lot of these guys just stubbed their toe at the absolute wrong time, which seems to be happening with Illinois football over the last few years.
Well, and I'll push back a little bit. I still say that, you know, when he's jamming 9 guys in the box,
right,
you got to be able to take what the defense gives you. And so, you know, if that means Brandon is going to check off to a 5-yard out pattern, you know, you got to kind of let him do that so that the defense has to respond. That might then open up your running game. And that's my biggest frustration, is it's just, it seems like, you know, that there's like a it's almost like gymnastics where you get rated on how you do well. And like, well, we need to do this by, you know, running the ball. Well, I don't care how you get a first down. If you run it, if you fake a heart attack and then, you know, throw a pass, I don't care what you do. But boy, it seemed like you need to make a team pay for going overboard on stopping the run. And I thought for a narrow window there in the second half, they made Rutgers pay for trying to go overboard to stop the rush, and it worked. And then whatever adjustments Schiano made, or if Illinois stopped doing that, the game went back to the pace of the first quarter. I thought it was really almost like a three-quarter game where you had the first, third, and fourth that, to be honest, Rutgers turned into a boring slog in their favor, and then you had the second quarter that Illinois kind of dominated the pace of the game, and woke up the Illinois fans to thinking that, hey, maybe we got an opportunity to win this game.
Yeah, I think Rutgers definitely came into here today saying we've got to muck this thing up to win it. There's no doubt about that.
Yep. And
And they did a really good job of it. And I think Illinois realized in order for us to win it, our big people have to be better than their big people. And you're right, Mike, that I think they walked the safeties up a lot and Illinois just got and ran and fit the run perfectly. However, I also don't think Illinois' big people played very well today. And when that happens, yeah. And Brett Bielema is your head coach and Tony Peterson is your offensive coordinator, that's not going to be a good day for you. Which makes it magnificent to me that Brandon was so accurate today and that he had so many good throws today and so many, you know, decent reads today. You might have missed the boat on the Brandon Peters game where he's actually going to play really, really well.
Exactly.
But in a sense, also had a chance at the end and then it was a very, very weird sequence because you had a chance to win this at the end and that on that last drive. But you never, once again, I go back to momentum. Like a lot of the players and Brett Bielema has talked about, we just can't build momentum. We can't build momentum from drive to drive. We can't build momentum from game to game. Good teams do that. And Illinois is not a good team right now, so they can't do it. So I really think that's what this breaks down to is that Illinois just can't stack things one on top of another and build positive momentum going in another direction, even when great things happen for them once in a while. And that's got to be frustrating.
Well, and regardless of, you know, let's say in 3 years, you know, the program's in a great health under Coach B, this to me will be, barring a 3-game winning streak here that would involve 2 wins on the road, which makes it highly unlikely in the competitive Big Ten. But barring a 3-game winning streak, you know, there were opportunities this year to go to a bowl, and it's so critical to the success, the revenue stream of the program, you know, so critical to getting your team extra practices for 3 or 4 weeks. This year will go down as a real missed opportunity to get that early jump that Coach B probably envisioned or hoped, you know, because I don't think that guy thinks negative. I think he thinks positive. And I'm sure he was planning on going to a bowl this year. He may not have touted it, but I'm sure he was planning on practicing in the whole month of December and you know, taking that extra practice into spring and then into next year. And it's unfortunate that didn't happen. And it just goes to show you how close the line is between success and failure in big-time athletics.
I think Brett Bielema anticipated that some of the bad habits of these older players could get coached out of them in the spring and then early in preseason camp. And I think that's what he's most frustrated with, that didn't happen, is that they continue to keep popping up at times where you need to win or lose football games. And Illinois loses more of those football games because they do those things that losing teams do, commit penalties and back yourself up on key drives and, you know, you just can't stack. Let's just be honest, can't stack good play after good play, you know, and can't stack drive after drive and can't stack game after game. So I think they thought they could put together some habits that would establish a culture that could allow for that to happen and have a better year. But I think Brett Bielema was very, very befuddled about why this keeps happening. And I think that he really wants to figure it out. And I think he was really frustrated today. And he owned it and said, look, it's on me. I didn't do a good enough job today. And I kind of applaud him for kind of going, hey, this is an introspective Brett Bielema that we don't normally see. And I think that he's got a lot of soul searching to do on why this keeps happening, so that in future games and in future years, it just doesn't keep happening here at Illinois, because there's an opportunity here for this program to turn the corner. And they just seem to stub their toe every time they have that chance.
Yeah. What did you hear anything about why Josh McCray didn't play today?
Yeah, Josh, like, so classic Bielema, Josh has been banged up all week since the Penn State game, and Brett wasn't even sure he was going to be able to go today. Josh decided to give it a go, but there was that drive where I think he had a carry for no gain and then a carry for a yard, and I think B kind of looked at the whole thing and went, no, we're done. Like, applaud you for trying to give it a go, but just can't. And he said I think it was one of my colleagues asked specifically on that last drive where they're trying to drive down to get the game winning touchdown and Jakari Norwood's in the game. Well, Josh McCray Josh McCray would have been in the ball game.
Exactly.
But Brett was like, no, physically, I'm taking you out of the ball game. You're not physically healthy enough to help us. And so they went to the third string tailback because to get him down to, I think, what was it, the 35 or something, Chase had busted a couple of big runs and then tapped his helmet and said, hey, I need a blow for these next couple of plays. And that's why Jakari Norwood's in the game. But that's also why on the 4th and 1, Chase Brown's back out there trying to get that first down. So it was a health issue. It wasn't anything like that Corey Patterson screwed up or anything like that or anything that Josh screwed up. It was a health issue that Bielema just finally took him out of the game flat out because he just didn't look right.
Right. Well, I'm glad that coach is not going to play a guy who's injured. The other thing that I didn't think was the best is it's not like they didn't telegraph exactly what was going to happen on those plays that he was in there.
Right.
You know, so that was a frustration, but at least fans will know. And obviously, you know, we want Josh to be feeling better.
Let me tell you something, Mike. I thought the execution on some of these runs weren't very good.
Oh, like, I agree.
And I'm not talking about play call. I'm talking about the execution of how the play was run by the players on the football field. I'm going to love going back and watching this film review, Mike, and watching how many times Chase Brown or Josh McCray runs into the butt or the backside of the lead blocker that's supposed to basically be taking care of him, because boy, that seemed to happen at least 4, 5, 6 times today. And that's simply an execution thing where if you're executing at a high level and you're into it, like Illinois was last week at Penn State, you know, those things don't happen today. They just happen. So once again, Illinois didn't probably have the best week of preparation, and therefore it carried over into a game where they kind of sleptwalked through 4 quarters and you know, you can't do that against a Big Ten opponent. And once again, Illinois stubs their toe and a chance to build some momentum for this program and for this season and for these older guys that want to prove that they can't that they can deal with success just as well as they can deal with failure, and that they haven't been able to prove that yet.
Yeah, and I gotta think that if you're a member of the Wisconsin defense, the Iowa defense, or the Illinois defense, you've got to be going like, what the heck's the matter with my counterparts over on offense? But you know, it was a game that there was a lot of hope in the hearts of Illinois fans, and a very frustrating loss. And the part that Ked and I went over, you know, is, and my only harping is as a guy who's coached at a very, you know, small level, not any, sure, obviously that, I don't give a darn how I win, but I will do what I need to win. And look, I know coach likes his power running game, and I don't have a problem with that, but put some wrinkles in, man. Get an offensive coordinator, or give your current offensive coordinator, as we get into future years, give them the ability to figure out how to get the ball out in space that doesn't have to be a run up the middle behind, because I can only think of, you know, if you start getting the ball out on the edge, even if it's, you know, with the run, and you have a Bielema offensive line, how's a defense going to guard it if you can run up the middle and you can get the ball out on the edges? You know, start using the whole field. Just because you got 5 of the biggest hosses in the world doesn't mean you have to run in this small part of the field. Use the whole thing and then see how many yards you can get.
Right. And I agree. I think that's a concern. I would also point out that I think on the outside, whether it's in the run game, as I'm looking at this from today's perspective, whether it's in the run game or whether it's in the pass game today, Mike, break a tackle.
Win a battle.
You know, yeah. I mean, if I look at the last offensive play that Illinois ran, if you're Chase Brown, you got to win that one-on-one and break that tackle and get to the perimeter, you know? And if that guy doesn't make that tackle on that 4th and 1, guess what? Like, there was nothing between Chase Brown and myself for 25 yards, you know?
Right.
Win that battle. If you're Casey Washington, win that battle. get to that ball. Like, and if you're Isaiah Williams, break that tackle. You know, if you're Carlos Sandy and we're running that bubble screen for you, that's the play that's for you, darn it. Like, break that first tackle and then, you know, figure out how to get out in the open field that way. I don't think Tony Peterson is the best offensive coordinator in the world at getting his guys out in space, but boy, when he tries to do it, Illinois doesn't break any tackles either. And that's got to be frustrating for this coaching staff when they're trying to put these guys out in space and they just don't seem to have what it takes to, in order to make those kind of big plays happen. And you've seen it, Mike, a lot of other games all across the country. Those big plays happen because a defender got in a situation and hesitated and missed a tackle, and then boom, now it's 40 yards, you know. And yeah. Illinois just doesn't seem to have those type of athletes, or at least athletic plays that, you know, athletes making those plays at that moment that allows for them to do that. And so
And I also applaud, though, the discipline, and I apologize for not thinking of the Rutgers guy's name. But, you know, as that play developed, I had the same thought you did. I'm like, if he can break the tackle, this is going to go a long way. But the guy literally read the play, took the perfect pursuit route. I mean, it was a flawless defensive play, and that takes discipline. And sure, that's you know, and you know, that wasn't, you know, the guy didn't find a way to get his hand on Brown's face mask to, you know, give him a first down.
That's the plays that Devin Witherspoon and Tony Adams are making outside on the Illinois defense. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, if you're Rutgers, you know, Greg Schiano is a defensive guy. And yeah, so that's going to be a play that I think he runs on auto throughout the whole week, saying, this is how we win football games, fellas. Like, and to a certain extent, I think Brett Bielema was going to run that play and go, this is how we lose football games, fellas. Yeah. You know? And so, I'm telling you, Mike, there was nothing between, I mean, look, Brett Bielema can stand up there, and he did, and say, look, the play call was what he wanted and whatever that is. I don't agree with the play call, but once the play call happened, there was a way to execute it to get 2 yards. And not only was there a way to get 2 yards, but if you break a tackle, there was a way to get in the end zone. And that's legit. So, you run a play to Carlos Sandy where it's a 2-on-2 blocking scheme. Neither guy blocks anybody, and Carlos Sandy doesn't go anywhere. So he didn't even break a tackle. So all those things kept happening today, and it was just a blah day. And it was just a day where Illinois just tried to sleepwalk through 60 minutes and get a win at home. And as we've seen over the years, Mike, this team's not good enough to do that yet.
Yep.
And they're not. They're certainly not good enough to do it against a Big Ten opponent.
So, any other thoughts here as we wrap up what has been a very deflating day, which I'm sure for the team and for the coaching staff was deflating. Any final thoughts here, Matt?
I think that Illinois's got to start figuring out why this keeps happening over and over and over again. This is UTSA. Why this keeps happening. So, I mean, that's a major negative, and I think that these guys feel like it's mystifying. It's just a mystifying day because physically I thought Illinois was better than Rutgers. Today, if you want a positive, I thought they made plays the best game today. And I thought if you're Brandon Peters and you want to run that on a loop this week and build your confidence up and have another good week of practice, then, you know, Lord knows what he could do when they go to Minnesota next week. But it was just a weird day because you never got a sense that Illinois, I never got a sense that any of the runs that they were going to, that they ran most of the time, I didn't think were bad play calls, but you never got a sense that they were really on the verge of breaking any of them.
Yeah, you're right.
So just a weird day that I think the guys up front have to own, and they have to say that we didn't do our job today. And we're the reason why I think we only had, I'm looking it up now, but only 107 yards rushing today. And I'm here to tell you, Mike, that if Illinois under Brett Bielema is going to run for 107 yards in a football game, they're not going to win it.
Yeah, you're right.
So these guys up front have got to eat this one. And I think that they've got to have a better week of practice as we go into Minnesota. So that's my
okay. Perfect. So here we are on Eye on the Illini, folks. It was a rough rough Rutgers game today as we break this down. One of the things that I would ask you is please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. That obviously helps a lot. And if you have a friend who is an Illini fan, send this to them. If you have an enemy who's an Illini fan, send this to them and maybe they'll be your friend afterwards. But the other thing we have, of course, is we cover Illini basketball as well, and we cover that like no one else. If you go to IlliniGuys.com and you subscribe, you get a 7-day free trial. You won't be charged until day 7. And by day 7, you will be thinking to yourself, this was a great investment in my entertainment value. And with the basketball season coming up, that is going to be a fearsome team. Please make sure you don't miss any of it. With all of our things that we offer, coupled with the message boards that are behind the paywall that give you all the sausage making and all the inside scoops, you will want to relive this year over and over. I think we are going to have an outstanding basketball year, courtesy of Coach Underwood and a fantastic basketball team. So please be a part of that. So with that, I am saying go Illini, and we will talk to you in the future.